Well, did you miss me? Did you even know we were gone?
No.
Oh, I'm sure my former student, Pastor Polgard, served you well last week, but it's good to be home where we belong. Short getaway, and now our batteries are all charged up and ready for Holy Week and Easter and all the things that are upon us. So, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of today's sermon is Holding the Hem, based on a reading from Luke chapter 8, which is not the gospel reading for today. You may ask, why have I chosen this text and this message? It's because recently, as your pastor, I have been spending a lot of time with a lot of you who are hurting, who are wounded, who are wondering if God even cares. So today is what we call a free text, not a sign, but it's a message I pray will speak to your heart. Let me read this beautiful and tender passage from Luke chapter 8. And when Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they'd been waiting for him. There came a man named Jairus. He was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to beg Jesus to come to his house, for he had an only daughter who was 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him, and a woman who had a bleeding disorder for 12 years could not be healed by anyone, came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Master, there are so many people crowding and pressing on to you. Who can we say who touched you?" But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power went out of me. And when the woman saw she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell before Jesus. And in the presence of the people, she gave the reason why she had touched him and how she had been healed. And Jesus said to her," and here are the words of the text, "Jesus said to her, 'Daughter, my dear daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" I encourage you to follow the outline this morning on the blue insert as we consider our theme, holding onto the hem of Jesus. Well, who do you say Jesus is? That was the question on the tips of the tongues of the disciples and the people who had recently seen Jesus in action in Luke chapter 8. In verse 22, Jesus has gotten into a boat with the disciples and he decided to take a little nap. But while he was sleeping, the winds and the waves crashed. The disciples woke him up. "Don't you care? We're perishing." And he said to the winds and the waves, "Hush and be still." And the winds and the waves hushed. And the disciples asked this question, "Who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" And right after that story, in verse 27, Jesus comes upon a demon-possessed man. This man was a satanic superman. No chains could hold him. Yet Jesus rebukes the demons, casts them into a herd of kamikaze pigs, and the pigs throw themselves over a cliff. And the people ask, "Who is this man that even the demons obey him?" And now in our text, the next story in Luke 8, we read that the crowds were eagerly awaiting Jesus. Of course they were waiting for him. Here is a man who controls nature. Here is a man who controls demons. And the crowds wonder, who is this guy? Who is this guy that acts more like God than a man? And in today's text from Luke chapter 8, we're told that a man named Jairus had a daughter. She was 12, and she was dying. Jairus was a very important man, a well-respected leader of the synagogue. We could say that he was the head usher. He was the worship coordinator. Jairus told people where to stand, where to sit, when to stand, when to sit and when to come in and when to go out, a very respected position of power and authority. But on this day, Jairus, this important man, was on his hands and knees before Jesus, begging Jesus to please heal his little girl. And as Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, now we come into our text for today. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years was in the crowd. Now we don't know, the text doesn't tell us what kind of bleeding disorder this was, but it probably had something to do with what women put up with on a monthly basis. But this dear woman, the text says, had a non-stop bleeding disorder. She just kept bleeding. According to Leviticus 15, her condition made her ceremonially unclean for 12 long years. What did that mean? It meant that she had not been to temple to worship for 624 weeks. She had not felt the touch of a man for over a decade. She couldn't even go shopping with her girlfriends because she was considered outcast and unclean by all of society. But in the Gospel of Mark, we are also told that she spent all the money she had seeking every doctor she could find to give her a cure, but she couldn't find a cure. She had no BC health care. There was no supplemental insurance to cover a pre-existing condition. Just imagine this dear woman's struggle with personal hygiene. Just imagine her embarrassment. Just imagine having to go to the washroom 20 times a day because of this. She was a nobody. Did you hear me? She was a nobody. The crowds thought so. The disciples thought so. Even she thought it was probably true. And so, in the midst of a massive crowd pressing around Jesus, she did the only thing she could think of doing. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And listen again to what Jesus says in verse 46. Someone touched me. But Lord, Peter said, there's a crowd here. Everybody's touching you. Yes, Peter, I know. But listen, somebody, did you hear? Somebody touched me. Jesus called a nobody a somebody. Jesus, you see, has a way, don't you know? Of stopping for nobodies. It's the story of his entire earthly ministry. Stopping for and loving those everybody else called nobodies. Lepers. Tax collectors. Prostitutes. People who were unclean. You remember, don't you? I'm sure you do. That Jesus was on his way to the house of a very important, powerful man named Jairus because Jairus' daughter was dying. But Jesus, the doctor, who was on his way to treat a terminal disease, are you with me? Stops instead to heal a nagging illness. Follow that with me again. Jesus, the divine physician, on his way to cure a terminal disease, stops just to deal with a nagging illness. Now today, we'd call that malpractice. And somebody would bring a lawsuit. But Jesus stopped for this nobody. Jesus stopped for this nameless woman. We don't even have her name in the text. And this woman, well, she had a superstitious kind of faith. Because in that day, many people believed that healing came through touching. We find this in Mark chapter 3 when the crowds were trying to touch Jesus. We find this in Acts chapter 19 when people wanted to hold on to the aprons and the handkerchiefs of the apostles, hoping they could be cured. This was the same kind of faith that foreshadowed what was going on in the church in the medieval ages and what we call the Dark Ages, when religious pilgrims would travel miles upon miles just to touch holy icons or holy relics to be cured. But you know, this same type of superficial faith and superstitious faith, we see it on TV. Here's what it sounds like. Send us your $20, and we will send you in the mail a prayer handkerchief that guarantees your healing. Superstition. But nevertheless, the woman in our text from Luke 8, we can hear her if you're listening carefully. If you're walking by her side, you can hear her whispering these words. At last, here is one who can heal me. I know that I'm unclean. I know that I'm unworthy. I know that I'm a nobody. But if I can just reach and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I'll be healed. And suddenly, a nobody reaches out of nowhere and touches the hem of the garment of God. And 12 long years of bleeding stop in a heartbeat. And Jesus says to her, listen to these words, "Daughter, my dear daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Shalom Aleichem." This is the only place, listen again as I say this, this is the only place in the entire New Testament where Jesus calls a woman daughter. And she goes from being a nobody to a somebody, to becoming a daughter, a child, a precious child of God. Jesus, Almighty God in human flesh, Jesus who curls constellations with his biceps, who swirls galaxies with his triceps, who throws the rings of Saturn across the universe like frisbee, this Jesus stops for this nobody. He stoops down to her level, heals her disease, and adopts her into a heavenly home by calling her my daughter. My dear friends, maybe you're a person today sitting here who knows what it's like to bleed along with this woman. You know what it's like to have no hope and feel like a nobody. You know what it's like to feel like life has passed you by. Does anyone really love me? Does anyone really care? Is there anyone who really gives a rip what happens to me in my life? Am I important to anyone? You know what it's like when your dreams have not come true. You know what it's like when love for you is scarce and your faith seems to be dried up. You know when your tears have flowed and life has hit you hard. Dear people, whatever your bleeding disorder is, whatever your problem, Almighty God, in the person of Jesus Christ today, calls you my daughter, my son, and he has a word of encouragement for you. His grace is always sufficient for our needs. This is what he told St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect even in your weakness. You see, God can use suffering to draw us into His holy presence. God can work in the difficulties of our life to strengthen us and our faith. It is often in the darkness, in the deepest part of the valley, in the place we see nothing but gloom, that Jesus Christ will shine forth the brightest. Let me let you in on a little secret. It's on your handout if you're noticing your outline. Did you know that our Lord Jesus Himself suffered from a bleeding disorder? Did you know that? Our Lord Jesus suffered from a bleeding disorder. Oh, yes, He did. Because it was a gory, bloody reality when God the Father crushed His only Son for our sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was on His way to the cross to pay for your sin and to pay for mine, it was as if the Father bent down with a whip in His hand. And for you, Jesus sweat great drops of sweat like drops of blood. And Jesus was beaten and bloodied by sinful men. He was mocked and ridiculed. He was spat in the face and kicked to the ground. He was nailed to a cross to pay for your sins, thank God, and to pay for mine. As His precious blood dripped to the ground, oh yes, He suffered too from a bleeding disorder. And He suffered it for you. Till finally His lifeless body was put into a tomb. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. On the third day, the Father said to Jesus, "Arise, my love." On the third day, the Father said to Jesus what Jesus said to Jairus' daughter, "Dear one, it's time to rise and to come forth." Jesus was raised to life, and death was laid to rest. Let me say that again. Jesus was raised to life, and death was laid to rest. And that is why you and I can sing a hymn that begins like this. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Now I know what the old Russian communist Karl Marx said. He said, Christianity is just a crutch for the weak. But let me tell you today, Jesus Christ is more than our crutch. He is our very life. Without Him, we would die forever. Without Him, we would perish eternally. Without Him, we would be just like grass for the lawnmower. But He lives. And because He lives, we shall live as well, victorious over the struggles in this life and victorious for all eternity to come. So now we come back to the first question of our sermon. Remember what it was? Look on your outline. Who do you say Jesus is? He's a prophet, but He's more than a prophet. He's the living Word of God. He's a priest, but more than a priest. He's the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. He's a king, but He's more than a king. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who at whose name one day every knee shall bow. He is Lord over nature. He is Lord over the winds and the seas. He is Lord over demons. He is Lord over sicknesses and death. He is Lord of all. My dear friends, be encouraged this morning. Jesus, the Lord of all, exchanged His sinlessness for your sin. He takes your grime and gives you grace. He takes your filth and gives you faith. He gave the woman with the bleeding disorder both healing and a brand new life. He made a somebody out of a nobody. And today, like this woman of old, we not only continue to hold on to the hem of his garment, even better than that, we are held in his strong arms forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.